Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from a study of the book of Romans. We're in chapter 8. I'm going to read verse 26, although we already covered it. I just want to be able to have us launch into verse 27 from 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Groanings which cannot be uttered. And then verse 27 goes on to say, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Follow the flow here. Lots of groaning going on in the passage. You are groaning inside. Help, Lord, help. You might not hear those words, but that's what your innermost being is saying. I need you. And the Holy Ghost is groaning with you. Help him, Lord. Help him. You won't hear words, but that's what's happening inside. Waves of communication ascending, not from your mouth, but from your spirit person. And then they reach heaven. The Father is listening. His scanner is always searching back and forth on the people of God, waiting to help someone in need. And he picks up the signal, the SOS. The Father knows the mind of the Spirit. It's essentially the same mind. And we have the mind of Christ, Paul says elsewhere. That the whole Trinity, the only power in heaven and earth, is on this case. He goes on to say, because he makes intercession, that's the Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, some want to enter that discussion of predestination and election in verse 29, but it begins right here. Paul enters now into a teaching that is so far beyond us that the greats of the Bible world have tried unsuccessfully for centuries to figure it out. Whole denominations have been formed on both sides of this issue. So take a deep breath. This letter was written to believers just like you and me, and whether we be Jews or Gentiles. God has a plan. He's working out that plan. Your plans may or may not work out, but his will. Listen carefully here. Before we go to that subject, we need to see something about intercession that makes this passage even more remarkable. Who is the intercessor? Well, in just a few verses and elsewhere in the New Testament, Jesus is said to be the one who intercedes. He ascends to heaven. He sits at the Father's right hand. He listens to our prayers and passes them on to the Father. But in verse 26, we just learned it's the Spirit who intercedes. So you see again the oneness side of the Trinity. There's another issue that won't be resolved this side of heaven, but we think we've got it and we've formed churches over it. Is he one or is he three? The answer, yes. Three in one. One God. Three manifestations, three persons working in perfect harmony and perfect unity. The Spirit is poured out from Jesus as he promised he would do. It enters the hearts of individual believers, as well as entire church bodies. And from that vantage point, the Spirit picks up signals from the believer, passes them on to the Son, who whispers them to the Father, all in a split second. In the same second, the Father makes a judgment, nudges the Son to proceed with the answer. Immediately, the Spirit knows what's going on. It brings a word to you sometime. But it's the will of God part of this passage that we want to look at. All of these prayer arrows are shot out from heaven when they've been cleared by the one who has made the plan for all time. If your prayer doesn't match the perfect will of God that he made at the foundation of the world, and before that foundation, your prayer's kicked back with a message. The message? Revise. This is not going to go through this way. A little redaction necessary here. Lord, I want this, and I want it now. Message, even with much groaning, comes eventually to the Father. Father reads the message, says, no, the timing is not right. Tell her to revise it and try again. So in humility, we all finally say, after many returned messages, Lord, okay, your will be done. If it be your will, please do this. Show me how to pray in your will, so my prayers will be heard and answered positively. I want your will, not mine. Jesus gave us a model prayer, you know. We call it the Lord's Prayer. When prayed meaningfully, not as a robot, it always gets answered. Always. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, it's his will for his name to be hallowed and made holy and praised. So that's going to happen. Thy kingdom come. Well, it's his will for his kingdom to come eventually and in our hearts right now. Your will be done on earth like it is in heaven. Well, it's God's will that what he wants will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's going to happen because we're praying for it, because that's what he told his people to pray for centuries, and they've been praying it, and it's going to happen. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, of course, it's God's will to give you your daily bread. Don't ever think otherwise. Not your daily restaurant, not your daily luxuries, but your daily bread's going to be there. It's his will to forgive you as you forgive others, so pray that. When we pray in his will, we get answers. Those other things we pray for may need to be tweaked a little bit or eliminated altogether. Maybe it's a matter of timing. Maybe it's a matter of selfish praying. Maybe God is not glorified in the thing that you want so badly. Maybe the justice you're after cannot come until you're more just and fair yourself. Lots of maybes when we don't pray according to the will of God. Then everyone's favorite verse now can be read, verse 28. And that verse 28 officially introduces the deeper things about the plan of God that Paul only hints at so far. He goes even deeper in chapters 9 and 10 and 11. This teaching about the unchanging plan of God is not going away. We've got to enter in very humbly, though, and very carefully, and not exclusively of our brethren when we go in, if we find something that they don't find. Look at verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Now, this verse will stand alone. It's not true. It is true. Sorry. The verse will stand by itself. But it is much richer, much deeper, when left in its context. Leave the verse alone. Don't drag it out and make it work for everything that happens to you. What is the context? The sufferings of this present time, back in verse 18. We're going through it, says Paul. But great days are coming. You can feel it in the creation as the creation is groaning for the new creation. You can feel it in your body as your body is groaning for a new body. You sense it by faith in your spirit as the Holy Spirit comes along and intercedes for you. All these things that seem to be working against us now are really working for us, Paul says. The same truth is repeated in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17. We don't lose heart. We don't lose heart. We don't faint. Though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. All things are going to work together for good. Momentary light affliction is producing for us, says Paul, an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So don't just look at how you feel right now. Step back and look at, wow, God's doing something. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. Now, that insight will not be gained by treating this verse as a ticket
to earthly gain.
Well, the boss tried to fire me, but he was exposed, and it led to my promotion. All things work together for good. Well, there's some truth in that. But in fact, looked at in an earthly sense, this verse won't work all the time. All things don't work together for your good, for your earthly life. Sometimes that boss does fire you, maybe because of your faith, and you lose income. Sometimes you're thrown to the lions and they eat you for lunch. What do you do then? Sometimes the office you're working in happens to be in a building that Muslims want to bring to the ground by flying through it. How many Christians went to heaven on that awful day? The context of this idea is eternity, folks, not the here and now. The coming again of Jesus, the new creation, the new bodies. Don't expect every little detail of your life here to be sweet and happy because of this verse. But know this, no matter what the losses, no matter what the suffering, no matter what the pain, there's a better day coming. This used to be our hope. This is what we lived for. But when the false teachers came in and told us that this was our best life, that prosperity is the aim, we turned away from heavenly things. We turned to earthly things. Then when that failed, many turned away from God altogether. All the nasty, awful things that can happen to a God lover in this life do indeed work together for our eternal good. Remember, it's about His good that's the most important. Don't forget the God-lover part. Not just all things work together, but all things work for those who love God. Remember that some things work together for good in this life, and for those who do not love God. But speaking of the next life, all things work together for good for you if you love the Lord with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. Don't forget those things from other parts of Scripture. Don't just take this thing out of text, out of context, rip it out of the Scripture, put it on your dashboard or on your bumper sticker. Please read the whole context. Don't forget those first three words. And we know. This is not Paul's opinion. This is certain knowledge. Do you love God? Well, it's all going to work out in your favor after Jesus comes. And there'll be glory waiting for you. Yes, for sure. Don't be looking for it here all the time. Then a little more about those who love God. It says, to those who are the called according to His purpose. The Holy Spirit's making intercession for saints, we learned, according to the will of God. God has a will. Don't forget it. God has a plan. It's unchanging. Your prayers are given to enhance His will, not yours. Let His plan work. Be a part of His plan. If you're in Christ, you're called. This is clue two regarding the unchanging will of God. God lovers are called people. If you really love God with all your heart, you're already called. You can know that. You don't have to be worrying every day. I wonder if I'm called. I love God with all my... He's so wonderful. But I don't know if I'm called. No, those two things go together. You couldn't love God, really love Him, if God had not first loved you and called you. You didn't hear an audible voice, but something inside said, come to Jesus. You heard that. You responded to that. Over the years, you've grown in that call. G-R-O-W-N this time. And in that love. That means there's a purpose in your life. It's His purpose. There's a plan God's working out. You're part of that plan. Keep seeking God about what your part is. Remember, you're part of a huge interacting puzzle that all fits together in Him, not in you. Young and immature believers have this thinking that God and all the people of God are striving to work out my plan. God bless my plans. God be my co-pilot. That's children talk. Do you hear me? That's children talk. Grown-ups don't talk that way. in the Lord. Grown-ups in the Lord realize it's God's plan, and they're striving to find out how their lives fit into God's plan. What's his overall purpose? What's your purpose inside his purpose? So now Paul stops, as I will, to begin to explain this can of worms he's just opened by talking about the will of God, by talking about a called people, a purpose written into the universe. Going to take it up another level now. Another time for another deep breath. The next verses have divided the Christian church. Don't let it happen to you. But let truth have its place in your life. You don't have to leave your church necessarily. But let the truth grab you. Whatever way, you just got, before you read these verses or any verses in the Bible, you have to say to the Lord as you're opening the book, Lord, whatever it says in here, I'm with it. I'm on your side. I agree with you. I believe what the apostles received from the Holy Spirit. I believe it's true. Yeah. Okay. Well, we won't start that this time. We will next time, Lord willing, next time we do Romans, that is. A couple other things before that. All right. Welcome. Thank you for being here. And don't forget the other things that are on this site that are scattered all over. Would you click on the word series and you look for yourself to see what's there? And then go to FaulknerTales.com. I've been doing a series on the great hymns of the church. I think you'll be enjoying that part of it. There's other stories all over that site. I've forgotten how many now, but it's getting up there. I think 125 stories so far. Go look at FaulknerTales.com. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Here, Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.